نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We are passing through the month of Shaban. The month of Shaban is a blessed month. Rajab is also a blessed month. Shaban is also a blessed month. And in blessings, in barakat, there is no month greater than the month of Ramadan. When the month of Rajab used to dawn, and when the crescent of the month of Rajab was sighted, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would say, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. Oh Allah, make the month of Rajab and month of Sha'ban Mubarak for us. Oh Allah, grant us blessings and grant us barakah in the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban. The month of Rajab and month of Sha'ban, these two months are full of blessings, but make them full of blessings for us. There are two different things. Friday is a day of blessing, but it may not be a day of blessing for you. Friday will become a day of blessing for you only if you reap the blessings of that day. Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara are places full of blessings, but it is possible that they are not full of blessings for you. If you go to Makkah Mukarrama, if you go to Madina Munawwara and you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fail to fulfill the rites of Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara. Both places are full of blessings, but not for you. So Rajab and Shaban, both months are full of blessings. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua that, O Allah, Allahumma barik lana, grant us barakah. So the blessings that lie within these two months, grant me part of that barakah, me and all my associates. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban. If a person does not benefit from places of blessings or from moments of blessings, then this place, this person is a very great loser in the hereafter. If a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person remains in neglect during those moments and in those places which has not been allocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for significant blessings. For example, Leicester. Leicester is a place of barakah as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every portion of this earth with barakah. And each day of the year and each month of the year is blessed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the days, Allah has blessed the weeks, Allah has blessed the months. So every moment has blessings, and every portion of the earth has blessings. But there are certain periods of time which have been specifically, and certain portions of the earth which have been specifically allocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for significant barakah. Barakah that you will not find in any other portion of the earth. Barakah that you will not find in any other period of the year. For example, the day of Friday, the day of Arafah, the month of Ramadan, the night of Qadr. Similarly, Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, or if you take Leicester separately, then the Masajid in Leicester, the barakah that you will find in this portion, you will not find outside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha, the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. Because there is nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than His remembrance. There is nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than His remembrance. وَلَذِكْرُ akbar. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than any other thing, any other amal. And any amal that we have been instructed to carry out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the objective behind that amal is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat would become useless if it did not contain the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saum would become useless if it did not contain the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any ibadat that we perform, any devotion that we carry out, it is weighty in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it contains the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish salat to remember me. Establish salat for my remembrance. إِنَّمَا بُنِيَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. We have heard this from our ulama, from the fuqaha, that once you enter the masjid, you can only do that which is called ibadah. So you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you talk about His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you talk about deen, you talk about qabr, because this is ibadah. You perform salah because this is ibadah. You cannot make announcement regarding a lost item that I have lost a watch, has anybody, because it is not ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden that. So masajid is only for ibadat. Anything associated to dunya, anything associated to world, it is not permissible. Only ibadah is permissible. The fuqaha state that masajid are only for ibadat. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, masajid are constructed only for His dhikr. So there is a contradiction. The fuqaha say masajid, in masajid only ibadah is allowed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that only dhikr is allowed. There is no contradiction. Every ibadah is remembrance of Allah. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, it is the objective. Every ibadah, the objective behind every ibadah is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for as long as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain in this world will remain. And when there is not a single soul to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the surface of this earth, Qiyamah will take place. لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى يُقَالَ فِي الْأَرْضِ اللَّهِ اللَّهِ. Qiyamah will not take place until there is a single person on the surface of this earth who says Allah, 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 Allah. So the masajid are built only for those activities which consist of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because masajid are built only for those activities which consist of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves these places very much because He is remembered. So Allah said, Ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the masajid masajid scattered throughout the world, they glitter for the malaika in the heavens. When the malaika look down on earth, then they see nothing but darkness. It's like looking at the sky during a very dark night when the stars are glittering. So all we see is darkness and glittering stars. When the malaika look at the earth, that is how they view the earth. Everything is pitch dark. The only thing that they can see are the masajid glittering. Why? Because masjid is that place wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these places. Maulana As'adullah sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, Khalifa of Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he very beautifully says in a couplet, Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par asad. Rashk karta hai falak. Now the heavens are very high and the earth is very lowly. Something which is very high does not envy something which is lowly. It is the lowly item which will envy something that is high. But Maulana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, he says in this couplet, that heavens, despite all their high status, they envy that portion of the earth wherein a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sits and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he very beautifully says, Rashk karta hai falak. Falak, the heavens, they envy. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par, on that portion of the earth. The heavens envy that portion of the earth, O Asad. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par, Asad, jis pe do char ghadi zikr khuda hota hai, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments. So there are places throughout the world, which have been specifically allocated for barakat. And there are times also. But these places are full of blessings for whom? For those people who acquire these blessings. For those people who acquire blessings. If somebody is thirsty and there is a lot of water outside being distributed, and this thirsty person just goes outside and he sees this water in abundance, bottled water, and it is being distributed, and he goes and he just stands there like this. So there was a lot of water, but this water was not blessings for him because he did not benefit from that water. So similarly, when we go to Makkah Mukarramah, when we go to Medina Munawwara, when we go to Baitul Maqdis, when we go and spend time in the masajid, lot of brothers go in Jamaat and they spend a lot of time in masajid. Lot of brothers go and spend time in Aitikaf in the masajid. These are blessed places and blessed times also, the month of Ramadan. But if we do not acquire maximum benefit from these moments or from these places, then these places may be full of blessings for everybody. These moments may be full of blessings for everybody, not for me and you. We have lost out. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making this dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban. Oh Allah, Rajab is full of blessings and Shaban is also full of blessings. But make both of them mubarak for me. That means grant me the ability and the tawfiq and the opportunity to benefit as much as I can from Rajab and from Shaban. Another point to remember. A moment in life, a day or an hour or a few moments, a few seconds, or a particular portion, may not have been allocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for significant blessings. Just a normal day. Not Arafah, not Ramadan, not Friday. Just a normal day. A Monday, a Tuesday. Just a normal night. Not Shab-e-Qadr, not Shab-e-Barat. Just a normal portion, maybe your local school or your local park. Common place. But if you, in that moment, are granted the tawfiq, if you in that place are granted the tawfiq to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total sincerity and repent and make friendship with Him, then that moment and that place is very blessed for you. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma or Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, either of the two, one of them said that the best day, there was a discussion going on, which is the best day? Is it Friday? Is it the day of Arafah? This is an academic discussion amongst the ulama. And there is difference of opinion, and each group will establish its view with dalail. And these types of differences of opinion amongst the ulama are rahmah for the ummah. So, Ibn Abbas or Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when this discussion was taking place, which is the best day? So either of the two said, the best day is that day when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents from his filthy life. Whether it is Arafah or whether it is Friday. Friday, but you did not repent. It is not the best day for you. Arafah, you did not repent. It is not the best day for you. It is just a normal Saturday. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you repent. That is the best day for you. So which is the best place for you? The best place for you is that place where you sort your matter out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban. Let us try from today to make every moment of our lives, every moment of our lives, and every portion of the earth where we spend these moments, the most blessed. If we utilize it properly, then that moment is blessed for us. If we utilize that moment correctly, then that place is blessed for us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. Oh Allah, make this month full of blessings for us also. These 2 months. وَبَلِّغْنَا Ramadan. And oh Allah, make it easy for me to reach the month of Ramadan. وَبَلِّغْنَا Ramadan. Think for a moment, my friends. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was honored with the mantle of prophethood at the age of 40. And when he reached the age of 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the honor of Mi'raj. And it is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in the light of very strong evidences, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he actually saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this naked eye. He communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw Jannat. He saw Jannat. And he saw the palaces and the gardens of various Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. He was not given the permission to look at his own abode. He was told by Hazrat Jibreel and Hazrat Mikail that that is your abode. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can I enter? So they said, no. You cannot enter now. You will be able to enter when you depart from the world. But the lowest category of mu'min will be granted Jannah, which will be 10 times more greater and bigger and better than this world. So one can imagine the Jannah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How great it must be. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the Jannah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu.
he saw the grandeur. So he could have assumed what type of jannat he will get and leave jannat aside. When he communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how difficult it must have been for him to return to this world again. You may not have thought about this before. When he is 50 years old, he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he communicates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he visits Jannah and then he is returned to this world again and he has to stay for 13 more years in this world. What sacrifice he must have given? When a person falls in love with a mortal, with a human, then the person does not find peace without seeing the beloved. Here the beloved is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is loving him is the messenger of Allah, the Sayyidul Mursaleen. And Allah grants him the opportunity to see him. And thereafter he is sent back to this world. After spending about 10 years in the UK, when we go back to our village, we find it very difficult because of the difference in facilities here and there. So after seeing Jannah, to come back into this world and stay here for 13 years. After seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come back here and wait for death. Every moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have desired to be in the company of his creator. Every moment. But Ramadan was so precious to him that when the month of Rajab used to begin, then he would supplicate to Allah and he would say, "Oh Allah, now that you have brought me so close to Ramadan, balighna Ramadan. Let me live till Ramadan and let me live till I am able to benefit from the month of Ramadan." On one side is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the akhirah, and his desire to go in the akhirah. And on the other side, you have to wait 2 months for Ramadan. But Ramadan is full of so many blessings that he used to say, "Balighna Ramadan, keep me alive till the month of Ramadan." One can imagine how blessed the month of Ramadan must be. Without any prayers, without any dua, without any supplication, without any desire on our part, Allah has been granting Ramadan every year to us. There we have a Nabi who is not in need of the blessings of the month of Ramadan. He had reached the highest status of spirituality. But despite that, he was greedy for this, for spirituality, that I want to live till Ramadan so I can reap the fruits of Ramadan. And we are in need of the blessings of Ramadan so much despite that it doesn't make us happy that Ramadan is coming very near. The Akabir and the Mashayikh, as soon as the month of Shaban used to commence, you would see change in their body language, in their happinesses. I can still remember my late father, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. In Shaban, it was as if wedding was going to take place in the home. And you know, every day is new, every day you get more anxious and more excited. The day of the wedding is coming closer and closer. That was how his behavior used to be in the month of Shaban. Especially after the 15th of Shaban. He would get excited, he would increase his ibadat, he would talk about Ramadan, that Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is coming. You could see that happiness on his face. Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is coming. Allah is being very kind to us, Ramadan is coming. And I still remember that in my childhood when I was in my village Bhoria, very young, my father sat me down one day in Shaban. And he said, "Ramadan is coming, so I want to teach you something which you need to recite frequently in Ramadan." And he told me, "La ilaha illallah,
Astaghfirullah, as'aluka al-jannah, wa a'udhu bika minan nar. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'aluka al-jannah, wa a'udhu bika minan nar. He taught me this long, long time ago when I was very young. It was much later when I grew up and when I started studying the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I came across this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that there are four things that you need to do excessively in the month of Ramadan. Four things. Number one, recite the kalima tayyiba excessively. La ilaha illallah. Number two, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness excessively. Astaghfirullah. You need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for jannah excessively. As'aluka al-jannah. And you need to seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of jahannam excessively. Wa'udhu bika minan nar. He taught me this formula. This hadith is also mentioned in Fadail-e Amal, the very first hadith. So let us also look forward to the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam also gave very much importance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Awwaluhu rahmah, wa awsatuhu maghfira, wa akhiruhu itqun minan nar." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The first part of Ramadan, the first 10 days is full of rahmah. The second part, full of maghfira. And the last part, deliverance from the fire of Jahannam. Because people are also divided into three categories. Category number one, the awliya, the muqarrabeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is their habit? Their habit is that they never commit a single sin during their lives. And if due to human weakness overcome by nafs, they were to commit a mistake now and then, once in a while, then they would not wait for tomorrow. They would immediately experience remorse, feel regretful and repent and say, "Oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, I will not do this again." وَلَمْ يُسِرُّ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not continue sinning. Like is the norm today that a particular person, he performs five times salat regularly. He gives zakat. He performs hajj. He looks very, very pious. But he goes onto the internet when nobody is watching him. And he enjoys pornography. There are so many young people who are victim to this, and pious young people. Pious young people. Why I am saying pious young people is because pious young people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His mercy has saved these people from the sin of adultery and fornication. So shaitan, to lead them to at least some degree of zina, will take them to the internet. It is for this reason I always tell my young friends, number one, don't use the internet unless it is a necessity. Don't use the internet and don't just go on the internet to browse through internet. Unless it is a necessity. A lot of people go on the internet to listen to the bayans of the ulama that are there. And where do they end up? There are so many bayans of the ulama taking place in the masajid, live. When watching films or when watching cricket, when watching football, which one do you prefer? Highlights or do you prefer live? So why when it comes to bayanat, you don't prefer live programs? Go into the masjid, sit in the halaqa of talib. Sit in the durus of the ulama. Sit in the bayanat of anybody who is lecturing on deen. Live program. And number two, CDs. CDs and audio tapes. You don't have to go onto the net to listen to the ulama. Because you'll end up doing something else. I know so many people who do that. They end up doing something else. They will listen to the bayan for about 15-20 minutes and then something else will attract them. And even those people who go to listen to bayana, they'll choose a particular speaker, but then they have a list of choice on the right hand side, 10 other speakers. So you're listening for about 5 minutes and then somebody else attracts you. In reality, when you go on the net to listen to the Dini programs, you are not listening to the Dini programs. You are following the whims and desires that you have within yourself. You are following your nafs. Because 10 minutes, this doesn't look so enjoyable. So let me try this sheikh. And then let me try this sheikh. Let me try this sheikh. So every time you have a list of 10 people, when you click a second time, then now you have a list of 8 ulama only. Now 2 is something else. And when you click a third time, you have a list of 4 ulama only. You have 6 other attractions now. And where does that lead you? I'm talking about practicalities. This is what happens. So what we need to do, so there are people like ourselves, sinful people. What do? We don't make tawbah. So we've gone onto the internet when everybody is asleep, nobody knows that we are watching films or nudity or filth, and thereafter, no regret. If there is any regret, we don't make that firm resolution that I do not want to commit this sin. I'm going to watch it again, it was very enjoyable. I'm going to do it again. There is no tawbah. This is the difference between the awliya and we. Awliya commit sins once in a while because their connection with Allah is very strong. They commit sins once in a while, once in a year, twice in a year, because they are not immune from sins. To differentiate between them and the anbiya, they have to commit sins. So they are made to commit sins once or twice. But as soon as they commit sins, the sign of a wali and a sign of a muttaqi is that he does not wait for the next second. He immediately finds remorse in his heart and he repents. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. The Quran says that as soon as they have made a mistake, they immediately remember Allah. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. And as soon as they remember Allah, next second, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They ask for forgiveness. Not ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. No, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And they question themselves, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Who can forgive sins other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. They do not remain persistent on that sin that they have committed. No. Now, these awliya, sin committed, immediately repent. What does Allah say regarding them? Ulaika jaza'uhum maghfiratun min rabbihim. Ulaika jaza'uhum maghfiratun min rabbihim. Wa jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha. Ni'ma ajrul amilin. For such sinners whom after committing mistake repent immediately, what is their reward? Maghfiratun min rabbihim. Maghfirat from their Rabb. Wajannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha. And gardens of paradise under which rivers are flowing. Ni'ma ajrul amilin. So this is the first category. I would like to urge and encourage my friends to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever a sin is committed. The goal in life should be to abstain from every single sin. There are so many young brothers who become habituated to committing sins. And they become very weak. They become very weak. They become very weak. For example, pornography. Films on net, other filthy items, masturbation is very common amongst young people. And they make a firm resolution, but After making a firm resolution, as soon as they find themselves in a lonely environment, they fall prey again. So once, twice, thrice, four times, five times, then they, thereafter Shaitan leads them to lose hope. No, it's not possible for me. It's not so many young people who are associated to me, they also say the same. I've repented 50 times, but I know that once I am in this environment, I'm going to fail. So what's the point? This is from Shaitan. I would like you to note certain points regarding Tawbah. Very important points. Very, very important points. Point number one, every amal has an effect. The effect of Tawbah, is hatred for sins. So if a person makes Tawbah today, makes Tawbah the second day, makes Tawbah 100 times, 1,000 times, 100,000 times, whenever he commits a sin, he makes Tawbah. The effect of this amal, sooner or later, will be that you will have hatred for sins. Now, if the effect of Tawbah is hatred for sins, why would Shaitan let you perform Tawbah? Because Shaitan will lose. If you begin to hate sins, Shaitan will not be able to make you commit sins. So it is for this reason Shaitan always puts these thoughts in mind. That what's the point? You're going to fail, you're going to fail. So what you need to understand is number one, if I am repenting today and breaking that Tawbah tomorrow by committing the same sin, I shouldn't worry. As long as I am doing Tawbah every time I commit a sin. Because sooner or later the effect will transpire. And this effect will create a barrier between yourself and the sin. Sooner or later. This is the first benefit. Secondly, a person may die in either of two conditions. For example, a person watches pornography. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a sinner. So if he dies at that precise moment, then he is somebody who watches pornography and who is guilty in the eyes of Allah. Okay? So you have somebody who watches pornography today, tomorrow, the day after, every day he watches pornography, but doesn't make tawbah in between. So one day he is going to die, so he will die as a guilty person. He will die as somebody who is guilty in the eyes of Allah because he is somebody who watches pornography. There is no possibility of him dying in a state when he is not guilty. But you have another person who watches same number of times pornography. But what does he do? When he finds that remorse in his heart, he repents. So for this person, there is a 50% possibility that he may die after he repents. And the person who dies after repenting is not seen as a guilty person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is that benefit. Third benefit of Tawbah is that let's say a person continues to commit a sin for 5 years and thereafter he repents. As soon as he repents, all his past sins are forgiven. Then he begins again. And he commits a sin for 1 year. He repents again. His sins of the past 1 year are forgiven. Then he begins to commit sins again, and after 1 month he passes away. He has gone as a guilty person. But in his book of deeds will be sins of 1 month only. Whereas that person who does not have the habit of repenting, if he was to depart, he will have sins of 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Point number four, which is very important point. When we commit sins, who is behind those sins? Shaitan. Shaitan has to exert effort in order to make us commit sins. Especially those people who are religiously oriented and who do not want to commit sins, who try to stay away from sins, and somehow he pushes them into the ditch of sins, he has to put effort. So Shaitan makes us commit sins, we commit sins. After that we repent, all his efforts gone down the drain in seconds.
So let us take an example that there is somebody who has committed sin, a particular sin 1,000 times. And who was behind these sins? Shaitan. So imagine the effort that Shaitan must have exerted. 1,000 times he has committed sins and every time he is repenting. So first time he committed the sin, he repented. Second time he committed the sin, he repented. Third time he committed the sin, he repented. Fourth time he committed the sin, he repented. So every time all Shaitan is seeing is failure, 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 failure. Because he repents and all his efforts go down the drain. But does he ever give up? Does he ever give up? So when making us commit sins, Shaitan knows that if this person repents, I've got everything to lose. Despite that, he never gives up. So when repenting, we've got nothing to lose. Why should we give up? Why should we give up? We've got nothing to lose. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. If a person falls in love with a girl, and he sends proposal to his parents that I want to get married to your daughter, and the proposal is rejected. So now what does he do? He sends another proposal. It's rejected. Third time rejected. So he finds somebody who can talk to the parents. He fails. He says, no, I don't want to get involved. So he goes to another person. Again, no, I don't want to get in. He goes to the third person. So he is becoming unsuccessful every time he is trying to connect himself to this girl. But he doesn't give up. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. One who is failing throughout his life in order to get this girl in his marriage. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. But the aashik, the one who has fallen in love, will not give up. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Ye rishta, this relationship of love must remain. Jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. If it breaks 100 times, then we should join it 100 times. So if Shaitan, by making us commit a sin, breaks our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by making tawbah, we should join it. If something breaks, what do? We use super glue 3. So this tawbah is super glue 100. Super glue 100. And you can use it as many times as possible, and super glue 3, if you use super glue 3, in many cases, it might join the two items together, but you will still see a dent or a scar or something. This tawbah is such super glue that when you use it, then it is as if you have not done anything in regard to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person repents by using this super glue of tawbah, then I make the malaika forget everything, I erase it from the book of deeds myself. I erase it from the book of deeds, I erase it from the minds of the malaika, I erase it from the minds of those people who have witnessed that sin. On the day of Qiyamah, they will not remember. So on the day of Qiyamah, when this person will come, he will not come as a guilty person, he will come as an innocent person. He will be full of honor. No, nobody will point fingers at him that he did this, but Allah has forgiven him. No, only Allah will know. It is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are 3 categories of people. Time does not permit me to go into further detail. 3 categories. One is this, those who repent immediately, awliya. The other group, our group, commit sins and sins and sins and sins and sins, never toba. Once in a while toba. The first group is so pure, because every time, number one, they don't commit sins, and if they commit sins, they repent immediately. So if they were to die, they would go straight to Jannah. The second group, they are so filthy that if they were to die in this condition, they would go straight to Jahannam. And the third group in between, I think majority of us are in this third group. It is also the father of Allah that we are in this group. What is this group? 50-50. Comes Ramzan, we become very pious. Comes the day of Eid, again we back to square one. Suddenly we decide to go in Jamaat. So the body language changes, style changes, we go in Jamaat 40 days, mashallah, we come back for about 3-4 weeks, and then again back to square one. So up and down. 50-50. Sometimes very pious, sometimes very filthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ. The first 10 days are full of rahmat. First 10 days full of rahmat. That means those people who are pure from sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very first day sends rahmat upon them. Rahmat. Because they don't need maghfirat. They don't need maghfirat. Rahmat. And for those who are 50-50, the middle group, the third group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, 50-50, that means five and a half months sinful life and 5.5 months good life. So I'm not asking too much from you. Just spend your time properly in the first 10 days. First 10 days. And comes the 11th day, وَأَوْسَتُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ, I will forgive your sins. 5.5 months of sins I will forgive you by, if you only look after yourself for 10 days of Ramadan. And the third group, which is full of filth, if they were to die now, they would go straight to the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you'll have to work a little bit more harder. 10 more days. And comes the 21st day, إِتْكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, I will give you deliverance from the fire of Jahannam. So my friends, let us go from this here with a very, very firm resolution that this Ramadan is going to be different from all the other Ramadan. The first thing I would like to urge all of you to do is to make yourself feel guilty. Guilty for what? Guilty for wasting all the Ramadan that have passed. If you make yourself feel guilty, then you will be able to appreciate this Ramadan. So make yourself feel guilty and make a firm resolution that this Ramadan is going to be different. How different? Number one, I am not going to waste a single second. And number two, I am not going to commit any sin. There is going to be a lot of recitation of the Quran. As mixing as less as possible. Because when we mix, we talk about this person and that person. Ghibat starts, sin starts. People distract us from our ibadat. Focus only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and akhirah. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him to make you, all of us, the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My late sheikh and mentor, Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, said to me on numerous occasions, and he used to say to other people also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykumus siyam. The fasting of the month of Ramadan has been made compulsory upon you, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, just as it was made compulsory upon the people before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become muttaqi, so that you become the wali of Allah. Muttaqi is the wali of Allah. So that you become the friend of Allah. So my late Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, that when you make dua, say to Allah, that O Allah, you have made fasting compulsory, you have granted us the month of Ramadan, so that we may become walis. This is why you made the month of Ramadan, so make me wali. You have made this month of Ramadan to make us muttaqi, make me muttaqi, O Allah. It is only you who can change my life. I have become slave to my nafs, I have become slave to my shaitan, O Allah, you help me. And become helpless in the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes humbleness very much. When a person goes to the court of Allah and he says, Oh Allah, I am helpless. It is only you who can save me. It is only you who can give me this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. So let us make a firm resolution, inshallah, that this month of Ramadan that is coming. And we need to start changing from today. We need to start changing from today. Because in order for your car to go in the fifth gear, you can never put your car in the fifth gear from the place you start moving. So you have to put it start and then first gear and then second gear and then third gear and then fourth gear and then fifth gear. So if you wait until the first of Ramadan, then by the time your car comes into the fifth gear, it will be 11th of Ramadan. So you need to start from today. So if you start from today, then inshallah by the time Ramadan starts, your car will be in fifth gear. So what we need to do is to change our lifestyle slightly from today. First thing is no sins. Second thing is no wasting time. And become punctual with our amal, with our ma'amulat. And then as soon as first of Ramadan comes, then we increase our ma'amulat, we increase our amal. And set targets. In order to become successful, we have to set targets. If you continue to recite the Quran, you may complete two Qurans. But if you set target, that every day I must recite 5 juz every day. If you said, every day I must recite Durood Sharif 500 times. Every day I must recite Istighfar. Every day before the breaking of fast, I must turn to Allah for 10-15 minutes and ask Him for my needs of this world and the hereafter. Every day at tahajjud time, at least for 15 minutes, I must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please take a copy of Prophet from Ramadan and study it properly. It's a small booklet published by the Islamic Dawah Academy. And also try to begin to read Fada'il Ramadan by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. In the masajid, it is being read now. Fada'il Ramadan. It will be read in the month of Ramadan as well. Try to listen to it. And also try to sit down as a family from now. So that mentally you start preparing for the month of Ramadan. Try to sit down as a family at home and read Fada'il Amal by Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And try to connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا وارحم الراحمين have mercy upon us وارحم الراحمين forgive our sins forgive our minor sins forgive our major sins forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our families Forgive the sins of all those who are associated to us. Forgive the sins of those who are living. Forgive the sins of our deceased. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to repent sincerely. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to repent sincerely. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance and keep us steadfast on our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from shaitan and our base desires. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to live according to your wishes. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to keep away from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to stay away from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, majority of the times we are doing those things which displease you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the opportunity to make you happy and grant us the opportunity to do those things in life which are desirable to you and which is according to your wishes. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as we live in this world, keep us steadfast on Iman, keep us steadfast on Islam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to strive towards keeping your other servants on straight path also. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Allah, safeguard our Iman. O Allah, protect our Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the deceit of shaitan at the time of death. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us lot of barakah in the days of Shaban that are passing. Make these days full of barakah for us. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to benefit from the month of Ramadan. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make this year's Ramadan a turning point in our lives. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all and grant all of our associates, our parents, our wives, our families, our friends, those associated to us, the whole ummah. Ilaha al-Alamin, grant us all the opportunity in this month of Ramadan to become your awliya. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your wilayat. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your nearness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill all the good wishes of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, safeguard us from every evil of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the good things that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has asked from you, grant us all those good things. And every evil from which your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has sought refuge, grant us refuge. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين